Commercial Row. Otto Kellerman arrived in Reno on the 3rd of September, 1869, with $40 American, two changes of clothes, a good knife from Soligan, and no German left to speak to. He had been in the country for 11 years. He had worked timber in Minnesota, freight in Chicago, a bakery in Sacramento that burned in the third week he was employed there. Each place had thinned him a little, taken something and not replaced it. He was 40 years old, and he had learned to travel light. The train stopped at Reno for 30 minutes. He had planned to stay on it. The town was 3 blocks long and looked like someone had set a pile of lumber down in the desert and called it finished. Virginia Street ran north to south and managed to be both the main street and the only street that mattered. The buildings were raw pine, still pale, the nails not yet rusted. Everything smelled of resin and dust and horse. The Sierra Nevada rose to the west in a line so clean it looked painted. He stepped off the train to stretch his legs and did not get back on. He told himself later that it was the light. It came off the mountains in the late afternoon at a low angle and turned everything, the buildings, the dust, the backs of the men moving on the street, the same color, a pale gold that did not seem like Nevada light at all. It seemed like something he half remembered from a country he had left a long time ago. This was probably sentiment, and he did not trust sentiment, but he stayed anyway. He found a room in a lodging house on Commercial Row for $6 a month. The proprietor was a small man named Daggett, who charged extra for the use of the water basin and did not apologize for it. Otto paid the deposit and walked the street. Commercial Row ran parallel to the railroad tracks, a block from the depot, and it was where the business of Reno actually happened. There were two grocers, a hardware dealer, and a man named Hertline, who had built a small brewery the year before and was advertising lager beer of superior quality. The Merchants Exchange on the corner served chops and oysters to men just off the train. The smell of grilling meat reached all the way to the tracks on a still morning. What Commercial Row did not have that fall of 1869 was a proper German saloon. Otto had tended bar in 3 states. He knew what a saloon needed: a long bar, a clean mirror, reliable lager at a fair price, and a barkeep who understood that men drank to be left alone with other people. The American saloons he had worked in got this wrong in different directions. Some were too loud, too bright, full of theater. Others were too dim and too silent, more like a place to die than a place to drink. The thing he wanted to build was somewhere between these two failures. He found the lot in October. It was on Virginia Street, a short walk from the depot, next to a man named Holt, who had bought on speculation in the spring and was already considering leaving. They negotiated for a week. The price was high for what was essentially a rectangle of Nevada dirt, but Reno was not Sacramento, which meant the prices would only go in one direction. He signed the papers on a Thursday morning at the Washoe County Recorder's office and stood outside afterward for a while, holding the deed. The paper felt thin and important in his hands. He built the bar himself with a carpenter named Oates, who worked well and talked little, which was Otto's preference. They used Douglas fir for the bar top, 1.5 inches thick, and he oiled it every morning for the first month until it could hold a ring of water without staining. He ordered the mirror from San Francisco. It took 3 weeks to arrive, and one corner came cracked, and he hung it anyway because the crack was in the upper corner and you had to know to look for it. He bought his lager from Hertline, 2 blocks east. It was cold and slightly bitter, and tasted like the kind of thing you drank after work, rather than during it, which Otto considered a virtue. They worked out a weekly arrangement. Hertline was from Bavaria. They spoke German to each other on delivery days, and not at all the rest of the time. He opened in November. He did not advertise. He put a lamp in the window and waited. The first men through the door were railroad workers, Irish mostly, on their way to the Comstock mines and stopping in Reno for a night before the stage south to Virginia City. They drank hard and paid straight and left by 9, which suited him. By the second week, there were regulars. A freighter named Cole, who came on Tuesday evenings and drank 2 beers and played cards with himself. A Wells Fargo agent who was afraid of his wife and made no secret of it. A Paiute man named Davis, who had worked the rail yard and spoke better English than most of the white men at the bar. On a cold December evening, about 6 weeks in, Otto stood behind his bar after the last customers had left and looked at what he had built. The bar was clean. The mirror reflected the lamp without apology. The smell was beer and pine and a little tobacco, which was the smell of a place people had come to and chosen to stay in for a while. Outside, the wind off the Sierra came down Virginia Street and rattled the window glass, and the railroad sat quiet on the other side of the tracks, and somewhere east of town, a coyote called once and did not call again. Otto wiped the bar from end to end with a clean cloth. He turned down the lamp. He went upstairs to bed. He thought, this is a place now. Historical note. The Reno Brewery was opened by Frederick Hertline on Commercial Row in 1868 and documented in the 1868-69 Nevada Directory as producing lager beer of a superior quality. The Merchants Exchange Restaurant and Chop House, operated by Harry Noyes, is also documented in the directory. Virginia Street developed as Reno's commercial spine immediately after the town's founding in May 1868.